you, but when I was a kid, we didn't have no YouTube. We didn't have no Facebook Live where people could follow you. None of that. No TikTok. We didn't have any of that stuff. We didn't have social media where you could post and get followers and likes. And I remember watching kids, I think it was Captain Kangaroo. I know I just dated myself, but not in a weird way. But I know we didn't have like Captain Kangaroo, and that, we had that kind of show. And we'd watch kids go up, and I remember thinking, that would be so cool to be on TV. Man, I'd be famous. Everybody would know me. It'd be awesome. And so now you get to be famous if you want, don't you? All you got to do, go on Facebook, go on live. People are watching your fool face going like, hey, I'm on Facebook Live. Let me show you my car. And they're all going like, okay, right? We all get to be famous, right? We can all do that. You can go on TikTok and make your little videos and laugh at your cat. And you got YouTube. And, man, you get all these likes. You can make great posts and have amazing likes and shares. Man, you get to be the star. And you even have, we call it followers now, right? You get to be the star of the show. Oh, how's that working out for you? Has that made your life happier? More joyful? Are you more content? By the way, I'm not putting down those things. I'm on Facebook. I think we're broadcasting. We're broadcasting, right? Welcome to the broadcast. If you will send your money, I will get you the miracle healing oil. Now, you're going to have to go ahead and give me $1,000, but that's really just for my condo. I mean, for our expenses to help those poor kids in Africa. I think I've had enough of TV Christianity. I'm not bagging on social media. Some of us, I could do it this way. I just like to be a really good person. I like people to think well of me. And I try to be that person who always encourages. I'm just a good person. So are you a happier person? Are you content? Are you at peace? Is life good for you? Is something missing? Oh, how about this? I've got my religion, and man, I know the rules, and I keep the rules. And I don't like it when people don't follow the rules and when they're not moral like I am. And how are you? You a happy person? Because I bet you're a blast at parties, right? Where are we? Are we happier or are we less happy? Jesus had said, and you'll remember this, looking at his culture, which was Pharisees and Sadducees and experts in the law and rules upon rules upon rules. Remember this? He said, come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Now, I'm going to break this down. This is not the verse you say, man, I just need some rest and we'll come to Jesus. Yeah, absolutely, but that's not what that verse is. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If you're looking for that, that's Matthew 11. He's looking at people who have been following after the rules of their culture. And if you're a Jew in that culture, you're under those rules. And you do your best to follow them. You're on that treadmill looking for their approval, looking for their likes, so to speak. You're looking for them to approve of you and say you're doing well. And you're on that treadmill. And if you finally get to the point where you're a Pharisee, if you're one of those people, you get to be in the tower looking down on all those people on the treadmill, telling them what they need to do. That was the culture. And Jesus says, this culture sucketh mightily. He spoke King James. Come to me, and I'm going to give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon me. You know what yoke was? It was the teaching of a rabbi. What he's saying is forsake those guys over there with all their rules upon rules upon rules and legalisms and judgment, and take my teaching upon you. This is Jesus, and learn from me. I'm gentle. I'm not harsh like they are. I'm humble in heart. I'm not prideful. The one who created you, who had every reason to be prideful, says, I'm humble in heart. And if you follow my teaching, you will find rest for your souls. In a culture that is full of performance-oriented living. I remember wanting to be on TV. And now, a little older, and by the way, I would not be impressed by any of this. Please don't. You know me. You've met me. Been on TV a number of times. Been interviewed, been on the one-hour programs. The neighbors section of the Roanoke Times did like a full feature on this guy who had a church that met at a laser tag place. Seriously. Big deal. I've seen the picture. I wince every time I look at it. It didn't make me more content. It didn't make me happier. There was a momentary dopamine hit. Ooh, look at me. That was about it, right? I'm on social media like you are. I can get the dopamine hit from the likes, right? I try to be a good dude, just like you do. I mean that in a gender-neutral way. But the things that we have now that we do to try to make ourselves happier, try to get a following and people to look at us, and the image we try to put forth as we front ourselves in a certain way, is it making us happier? Are we more content? Are we at peace culturally? There are things that happen that change culture. I'll do it this way. There are things that happen that change culture. And sometimes you know that they're changing and sometimes you don't. Mid-90s, I was sitting with a group of pastors and we were talking about how we were losing the idea of objective truth. Truth is truth. And we talked about this. I remember what was going on. And there was a president at that time who would say one thing to one group and the same day go somewhere else and say the opposite to another group, and no one called him on it. No one cared. And it wasn't him that changed it. It was culture was changing. He was just reflecting it. That was one of those points where we went from this is truth to this is your truth and this is my truth. They can be contradictory, but they're both still true. What? 9/11 changed everything, right? That's one of those, another one of those things that changed everything. 9/11. We all know where we were if you're 30 years or older. 9/11 changed everything. We went to war that was going to be quick and easy and we'll be out. How'd that work out? Turned into two wars. Yeah, and the way we left the second one wasn't so good. We wound up with Patriot Acts, and I'm not trying to be partisan in either direction, but we began to lose some of our freedoms at the beginning of that, at the outset. And something happened to us as a nation. I remember I used to run a lot, and I'd come in from my runs, and I'd get in the car if I'm at a trail, and immediately I had to turn on the news because I needed to know what's going on. Did I miss something? Right? Because I didn't have a phone with me. Has something happened now? Has something happened again? There was something that changed within us. Well, something happened when a guy in a college decided to build out this app where you could look at people's faces in college. He called it the Facebook. Nobody else went with him on that. We all went, that just sounds dumb. We'll just call it Facebook. The Facebook. Look, you're a geek. It's going to be Facebook. He just canceled me, I think. I'm in Facebook jail. And it changed everything along with, because it was the vanguard. MySpace was not much in terms of social media, although I have a kick in MySpace page. Facebook changed everything, and you got Twitter, and you got YouTube, and you got TikTok, and you got all the other stuff. Instagram. We have followers. And it's exhausting, isn't it? And you got people who will like you until you say one wrong thing, or they dig up an old tweet, or they find out about an email, or you have just a bad moment. That's our world. And I don't think it's made us happier. And again, I'm not against any of it. I haven't gotten off Facebook. I'm still there. I hadn't gotten off of the other stuff that I'm on. I'm there. Jesus promised rest. And I don't know how much peace we have right now. I'm looking out at our nation, and I don't feel a lot of peace. Like I'm wondering where my bike part is and wondering if that container that went down and is now in the ocean, was that my bike part? You know, we've got supply chain issues. You look at the stores, and the shelves are a little empty, and you look at inflation. And I think I had read that gas is up 44%. My goodness. So I'm not going to find peace out there. Where do I find peace? Jesus has said, my teaching, take my yoke upon you. In a world in which the Romans dominated the Jews, he's speaking to the Jews, in a world in which the Romans had come in and laid waste to Jews before because guys had tried to rise up and throw off the Roman yoke. They were in danger at all times. Back in that day, and you get a bad cut, you may die. Oh, yeah, somebody coughs on you now, you may die too. Sound a lot like us today? And so I want to read from Matthew 6. We're going to do most of the chapter. And I'll start at verse 1. Didn't go and go on past that. It'll be Matthew 6. So go past. There you go. That's my fault, by the way. We're trying something new. Matthew 6, 1. Jesus speaking, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of people to be seen by them. So he's got this, just this opening of, hey, you need to be careful. He's just said, love your enemies. Now he's saying, when you're practicing your righteousness, when you're showing how good you are, and you're a good person, you're religious, and you just love God so much, be careful of doing that in front of others to be seen by them. He's talking about motivation. He's not about talking about what you do, but why you do what you do. Be careful of your motivation. Otherwise, he says, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Yeah. So whenever you give to the poor, take a selfie and post it. And talk about just serving Jesus, brother. And make sure you get the homeless person in there. Always, right? No. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be applauded by people. By the way, that's where we get the phrase, toot your own horn, right there. Look at me, I'm so righteous, me love Jesus, long time. No. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be applauded by people. And he says this, I assure you, they've got their reward. I need to introduce you to two Greek words today, not because I'm a scholar, not because you should be impressed with me, and not so you can use them to impress your friends, but because we translate two different words with one word, and there's a difference here. So the word reward here is misthos, M-I-S-T-H-O-S, if you're looking at the transliteration, misthos. You know what it means? It means appropriate response or appropriate compensation. So I take a selfie or I trumpet myself and I've given to this guy. Look at me, I'm putting $20 into the cup. Look at me, everybody. And they're like, wow, he's such a good guy. Ah, he sacrificed 20 bucks. He could have bought a Starbucks coffee with that. Oh, he's amazing. Or a pair of shoes at Walmart. Either way, he's incredible. I've gotten my appropriate reward. They applauded me. And if you know crowds, they then went on to the next thing, right? Because we got a million things going on. Oh, he's good. I got my applause. I've gotten my appropriate compensation for what I've done. But watch what it has cost me. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will, there's that word again, reward you, different word. This is apodidomi. So, misthos, appropriate compensation. Apodidomi is what you have in Christ because of the cross, and is the blessing of God, the peace that comes from serving Him, the confidence of knowing Him, the joy of walking with Him. And what He's saying is, when I do it in front of people, they've applauded me. God says, you got what you wanted. You got it. But you've given up the very thing that is already yours in Christ simply for following me. Oh, that's strong, right? You've given up your apodidomi. You've given up the very thing that God already had for you. It was sitting on the table. You had the buffet sitting there. And you said, hey, I think I'll have a Kit Kat. Oh, it's chocolate. Got a little crunch to it. Kind of cool. Yeah, break me off a piece of that bar. And so you had your Kit Kat, but you left behind a lobster and a steak and a mashed potatoes. And you left behind the good stuff. And here's the thing, that Kit Kat's going to give me a dopamine hit because it feels good to get a little sugar in your belly every now and then. A little chocolate, women, right? Yeah. Some of you men who are a little feminine. Yeah, way to go. I'm not judging you. You eat your chocolate and watch your Hallmark movie, boy. You go ahead. When you're ready for counseling, I'm here. I'm just saying. So anti-cultural. When I do things to be seen by men, I get my applause. And I forfeit the very thing that God had for me, that Christ has already purchased for me on the cross. But when I do these things for Him and for Him alone, I'm living before an audience of one. God says, I got you in this. I got you. There's peace in knowing I'm serving Him alone. And I don't have to perform for anyone else. If they saw it or not, it doesn't matter. If a man feeds a homeless man in the forest and nobody sees it, did it really happen? Yes, because God saw it. Yeah, let's go a little further. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Oh, let me translate for you. when you go to lunch after church in a good old denominational church, and you ask the preacher to pray, and he prays 20 minutes, and the chicken is soggy now, and it was fried a minute ago, and the rolls are cold, and your kids are crying because he had to pray these long prayers with a lot of bestows and endows and creator and thous and these. Ooh, I'm just saying, man, when I'm ready to eat, don't pray long prayers. That's all I'm saying. To be seen by men. Anytime I pray in a way that is there simply to impress you. By the way, I heard a prayer this morning, 9:30 Bible study. That wasn't to be seen by men, but man, that was powerful. Oh, that woman can pray. I've decided she's getting all my prayer requests. She's amazing. But when you do it with the motive of being seen by men, to be congratulated and all, you're so holy, you're so spiritual. When you do that, Jesus says, I assure you, they got their reward. Ooh, that word's mythos. They got their appropriate compensation. Way to go. You're very spiritual. We're real impressed. What's the next thing to impress us? Because that's people, right? We're fickle. We're like there and then we're gone. Momentary applause and glory and then gone. You got your mythos. Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you, apoidomi. You will have that internal sense, that peace, that joy, and even that answered prayer, if it be his will. Because you're praying to him, audience of one. So the question of all of this is, who is your provider? Who is your source? Who do you go to? Well, those people out there, man, they speak well of me, and I don't want to lose that. Oh, man, when I post, they tell me how amazing I am as a writer. When I go Facebook Live, all those people watch me. Man, they love my kitty cat on TikTok. They think she's amazing. Who's your provider? There's nothing wrong with doing those things, but why do you do what you do? Who is your source? Who is your provider? When you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now here's where we need to stop just for a second, because Christians are a little nuts. We're a little crazy. We will see principles, and they're good principles. Jesus is talking motives here. We will see principles, and we will make them the point. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we'll see the principle, and we'll say, well, there's the rule right there. No one can ever pray out loud. Do you think Jesus went against his own word? Because I remember Jesus praying a long prayer in John 17. It's called the high priestly prayer. We make the rules rather than realizing the point. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, hey, Christians don't sue Christians. How many of you have heard that Christians don't sue Christians? Have you heard that one? I know I have. We're not supposed to sue one another. Do you know that? But the point of that is we're not supposed to put the name of Christ to shame. And so what it says is, if you got a problem with another Christian, go before the elders and let them talk to you. And if somebody wants to take your stuff, it's better to lose your stuff. It's better to lose your stuff than to put the name of Christ to shame. That's the point. It's not about just don't sue a Christian, because we're great with that. Christians shouldn't sue Christians until somebody does us wrong. Well, I doubt they're a Christian if they did that, so I should sue them. Like, we're nuts. We'll do that stuff. We'll make it about the rule and miss the point. The point is, what's your motivation when you pray? Are you trying to impress others? Or are you doing it simply because your God has called you to pray and he is your source? Who is your source? Jesus goes on, he says, when you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Sometimes I'll go and I'll pray, and I'll use a lot of words, because I had heard that if you speak a lot and you pray for a long time, you get more stuff from God. That's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Like, God has never been impressed with your King James words. God doesn't even speak King James. Nobody speaks King James. You don't need to speak King James. If that's the way you were taught to pray, God bless your little heart, go do it. I'm going to pray more Message version. Hey, Father, I love you very much. Thank you so much. You rock. That's going to be me. When you pray, It's not going to be your many words. And when I make it how well I pray, then I become the source. I need to wrestle something from God that he's unwilling to give. That's not your God. The Bible says that your Father knows how to give good gifts, and he delights in it. Jesus said, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? God's not trying to withhold. Sometimes you need to pray over time because he's using that prayer to change you, but God already knows what you need. God has never been impressed by anybody's prayer, ever. There's never been a time that somebody prayed so well that God said, dude, I'm blown away. I didn't know you could do that. Here, you can have whatever you want. There's never been. You don't have to use a lot of words. You just have to use what your heart is feeling. Some of the greatest words ever are, God, I don't know what to do. Help me. From a pure heart that's hurting and in need, and trust God to provide. Right? God goes from there, Jesus goes from there in Matthew 6 into the Lord's Prayer. I'm not going to do that one. We've done that recently. But all of it, throughout it, God's the source. Our Father in heaven, your name is holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Forgive me as I forgive others, because I can only forgive others to the degree you forgive me. You're the source. You're the way that I can do it. And then he says this. This is the third one. When you give, when you pray, when you fast. When you fast, don't be sad-faced. Whenever you fast, don't be sad-faced like the hypocrites, for they love to make their faces unattractive. Now, see, I got you beat on that one, Jesus. I don't even have to make my face unattractive. I'm already there. So their fasting is obvious to people. I assure you, they got their reward. So somebody's fasting, they're doing without food in order to seek God. And that's what that's for. I'm going to do without food in order to seek God in prayer. They are fasting. And instead, they make it look like they're fasting. So others will say, what's going on, man? Oh, I'm just fasting before the Lord. I'm just spending this time in fasting. Oh, she's so spiritual. Oh, they're so close to God. You got your reward. You got your misthos, you got your appropriate compensation, and that's all you get, boy. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that you don't show your fasting to people, but your Father who sees in secret. In other words, don't let people know. Don't make a show of it. Just do it. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Apodidomi. You'll get the point of it. What Christ died on the cross, bled out to give you. That internal sense of just, man, confidence before the Lord, humble confidence. That joy, that peace will come from God. And he's going to go on, and we're going to go a little further in this. Don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Hey, by the way, do you feel any defensiveness when I start reading this? Uh-oh, he's going to take a special offering. No, you good. Let the walls come down. But collect for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth nor rust destroys, where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What he's saying again, who is your source? If I put this money here, then in case I need something, nothing wrong with putting stuff aside. He's saying don't make that your treasure. Don't make that what you trust, because that can go away. I'd be willing to bet you there were people in Russia back when it was the Soviet Union, when they had the revolution, who had money that went away in a heartbeat. Do you really think that the stuff you set aside is going to be there for you no matter what? Really? Any moment it can be gone, or you can be gone. Don't make that your source. Don't make that the thing you trust. That's idolatry. He says, rather, let your treasure be in heaven. Lord, I trust you. You're the one I trust. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? What are you looking at? What are you perceiving? What do you want? What do you trust most? Oh, if it's God, man, it's great light. If it's the things of this world, it's idolatry. And it doesn't lead to peace. It doesn't lead to joy. It doesn't lead to human flourishing. Again, the question is, who is your source? And when I trust money, when I trust the praise of people, when I trust anything other than God to be my ultimate provider, I become a slave. Listen to this next verse. No one can be a slave of two masters. He's talking about money here. Since either he will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other, you can't be slaves of God and money. You're going to serve one or the other. You're going to trust one or the other. You're going to run after one or the other. Nothing wrong with having money, nothing wrong with making money, but it shouldn't be your God and it shouldn't be your source. So God can provide through a lot of different ways, right? God can provide through your job, but your job isn't your source. Some of you know that because you've walked away. You were unwilling to do what they just mandated you to do. That was your conviction. I support you. Some of you went ahead and did it because it wasn't a big thing. In fact, you already had. That's your conviction. I support you. But your job isn't your provider. But they give me money because I go to work. They're not your provider. You can have many jobs. God alone is your provider, right? He's the one who provides. I used to have a doctor. Now I have a healthcare provider. I don't know why they changed it or how they did that. It's good. I'm glad to see him. It's cool. She's a good lady. I trust her. I've shared with her all my history, and she's still seeing me, which is good. All of that's cool. She said, "You did that to yourself, and you're still walking?" Yeah, I'm not smart. She's good, right? And it's good to see her. But I've had more than one doctor. She's not my ultimate provider. My God is. And through his common grace, he's given us doctors with amazing knowledge. And that's a good thing in healthcare. And that's wonderful. But God is the ultimate provider. My wife is amazing. We've been married 32 years. She's amazing. She's incredible. But if I put on her the goal of being the source of all my needs, all my wants, that's an incredible weight. I'm making a God of her, and no other person is meant to hold that position. If God is my God, I can serve her according to her needs. She can serve me according to my needs. And when we fall short in that, we don't get devastated, right? My friends are good folks, and I'm so glad to have friends that I can hang out with, and we can go ride bikes or whatever it is we do. But I've had a lot of friends, and if I make a God of them and then I move, I'm devastated. God alone dwells closer than a brother. God alone is your provider. He alone is your source. Let's go a little further in this. This is where Jesus brings it home. He says, "This is why I tell you, this, all the things we've just talked about, who is your source? Why do you do what you do? Do you need the applause of men? Do you trust in money? This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life. What you're going to eat or drink, or or about your body, what you're going to wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing?" Now, in their day and in their age, things are a little different. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got one set of clothes, and you can't just go to the local Walmart and pick up another set of clothes. You're a little concerned because people don't want to see you walking around naked. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but they'd prefer you be clothed. They're worried about it. Man, mildew gets in, something happens, my clothes split, I can't. Man, what am I going to wear? Don't worry about your body, what you're going to wear. Don't worry about food, what you're going to eat. Now, just don't get so busy worrying about these things as though they are your source, they are your provider, as though you need to find a new provider if you don't have one. Don't worry about that so much that you can't live. Isn't life more than that? And listen, let me be honest. Some of us in here right now are so worried about our world, so fearful about what's going on, so concerned about our jobs or sickness or any of the rest of that, that we're not living. And it's time to live while you can. And yeah, take the precautions you want to take, no problem. Make the moves you want to make work-wise, pray through them first, absolutely. Don't stop living because you're so worried about trying to make a life. Every moment you do is a moment that's gone, and you'll never get it back. And the people in your life need you to live. Your kids, if you got them, need you to live. Your parents need you to live. Is it life more than food? The body more than clothing? Let me do it this way. Isn't your life more than whether or not somebody clicked like or clicked laugh, which is now a mock symbol on Facebook? to your post. Big deal. Facebook ain't real. You know how I know it ain't real? Because most of your likes come from people sitting on the toilet. Really? They don't care about you. They're sitting on the toilet, nothing else to do. Let me click like. Hey, Brian, why you been on the toilet 20 minutes? Well, I got to like this post next. They don't care. And your body and your life worth more than that. Yeah. Let's go further. Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? You alone are made in the image of God. Out of all the creatures, you're made in what's known as the Imago Dei. That's Latin for the image of God. You have a soul. You have free will. You're not an animal. No animal stops and thinks about what it does. You may think they do. They're driven. It's just drives. Like nowhere out in the wild does a cheetah look at a llama or whatever it is they run after when they're hungry and think, you know, I probably ought to be vegetarian. It's not nice to kill any. No, he's going to kill and eat that sucker, right? Going to happen. There's never a time where some monkey is in heat and thinks, yeah, but I probably need to be true to that other monkey I was with last week. It don't happen that way. You alone are made in the image of God. You don't live by your drives. God made you in his image. You're able to make choices. And one of those choices is, I'm not going to worry because it ain't ever solved anything anyway. I'm going to live now while I got today. And when tomorrow comes, I'll trust God for that one as well. But I think I'm jumping ahead just a bit. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? By the way, it's for you short people. Worry all you want. You ain't going to get any taller. But we love you. And why do you worry about clothes? Look at the wildflowers of the field. Look at how they grow. They don't labor. They don't spin. They don't spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow, and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? Oh, you have little faith. Oh, I got to work hard. I got to make sure you know what? God is your source. Do the best you can. Trust him with the rest. Jesus came to set you free. What did he say? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Come to me. You're laboring after all these things. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm your source. Trust me. Do what I show you to do. Be faithful. Trust me. And where you fall short, repent and trust me again. Oh, it's so easy. So don't worry saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? How many friends am I going to have on social media? Who's going to see this video? Will they like it? For the idolaters eagerly seek all these things, those who trust something other than God as their source. And yet you have a heavenly Father who knows you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God, his ways, his rule, his reign, and his righteousness, which is provided on the cross. And all these things will be provided for you. God will give you what you need. And when you don't have what you need, maybe it's time to go home. That's okay too. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. I love Christ's words. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Oh, isn't that good? It'll worry. Let it worry about itself. And then he says this, each day has enough trouble of its own. Oh, I love how real Jesus is. Jesus is not a televangelist. Just trust me and you'll never have a trouble ever again. No, he said, each day has some trouble. Trust me to get through it. I'm your source. I'm your provider. You don't have to run after those things. Here's the deal. I got the things that I thought I wanted as a kid. Just being honest. I want to be famous. I want to be on TV. It didn't lead to greater peace, greater joy, greater happiness. Got a dopamine hit for a minute. Didn't get the serotonin of a long-term happy. Didn't get that. Those things become an image to maintain. And the longer you maintain an image in front of others, the more you find yourself fractured from who you really are in Christ. All I got is Jesus. All you got is Jesus, if you're honest. You say, yeah, but I'm so smart, I'm so good-looking, I'm so talented, I'm so whatever your talents and abilities. Hey, where'd you get those from? You didn't knock on the door of the womb. Hey, make me beautiful. Didn't happen, right? I mean, he did it for me, but it didn't happen. I didn't knock on the door. Everything I have comes from Jesus. He's the source. If he started me that way, he will end me that way. And in between, he's the source. And he would set you free today if you would let him. What are you worried about? There may be legit stuff. I get that. Tomorrow's going to worry about itself. And by worrying, you can't add anything to anything you've got. You can just steal today, and you're meant to live. Let me stop here. Questions, comments, and disagreements before we pray.